kind of a recap, and then we're going to jump right into something else. Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, John speaking, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, a quick recap. This verse really coincides with the fulfillment of the rapture, which is in two places, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 17, and also 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54, I think. Yeah, that's it. Now, John, which is who the call came to, he represents believers when you see this. We're going to do kind of a recap and a coverage, and then we're going to back up and look at some stuff. But so he kind of represents the believers that are here on this earth whenever the rapture happens, when the Lord returns for them, and which that's not seen, by the way, as taking part in any events of the church, is not seen anymore from this point on until Revelation 19. Now, the removal of, by the way, that's when the Great Tribulation is over too, Revelation 19, but the removal of the church is the first, really, of four supernatural, we'll call it warnings, that is given, by which God is going to bring judgment, and as you see in 4 and 5, that it's about to come. And in chapter 6, which is really where I want to get to, is the seals, and we're going to talk about them. Now, the 24 elders, I've looked at it, and I've looked at them close. And if you think about it and if you study, there's always been an elder for the Israelites. The 12 tribes, they all had an elder that pretty much oversaw everything. The apostles were considered the elders, so to speak, the Lord chose. Pastors in the Bible are considered elders of the church, but now pastors don't have near the meaning, I guess, that that I'm wanting to say that the 12 tribes of Israel have and the 12 apostles. And these, when they sat there, I believe they are representing all of the saved. Now, I looked into the crystal sea. The only problem I have with, I get the idea of the sea and it being multitudes, but it is a crystal. It is like glass. Therefore, it's not movable. So I'm going to, out of everything I've read several different things from different people, and I'm not sure what it is other than maybe it could be people. And I'll tell you why here in a minute. And it could be the purity of God's judgments. And one guy said, well, it's the purity of God. There's no sin in heaven. Okay. But in one verse in here, it says, let me see if I can find it real quick. I'll read it to you. It says in here that they were it was the sound of multitudes, 10,000 times 10,000, thousands, thousands. So there's a lot of people in heaven at this present time. Now, that we went kind of through all of that, really the theme, I guess you would call, of chapters 4 and 5, and I encourage you to read them more carefully. Really, the theme of those two chapters is worship of God and worship of Jesus. That's really what it's pushing. It's pushing the worship of God on the throne. It's pushing the worship of Jesus. And then as we go into chapter 5, well, if you go into chapter 5, it's talking about the seven, what do they call that, the seven sealed book? Yeah, I think that's what they call it. I've got it written somewhere. But nonetheless, there was nobody in heaven. That means all of the saved are raptured. There's the patriarchs are there. You know, and if you look at the patriarchs in the 12 tribes of Israel, they were there. The 12 apostles were there. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, this is for thought. Is Matthias the 12th one or Paul? Anyway, there is no answer for that. So drive yourself nuts and try to find it. because there was 11 apostles after Judas went out and hung himself, right? Don't go out and do likewise. So there was only 11 left. Well, they chose Matthias. But I'm not sure God told him to choose Matthias, but maybe he did. I don't know. I wasn't there. And then God put Paul in there as the apostle. Now, I'm going to lean toward Paul was supposed to be the 12th apostle. They jumped the gun. But I'm not going to say 100%, but I'm going to lean in that direction. So I don't know who the 12 will be there. I'm going to say one of the 12 apostles on the thrones that's going to judge during during the millennial reign of Christ. One of them I'd say will be Paul. But I'm not going to speculate on too much more of that. But chapters 5, they brought the book. And the point is they needed somebody that could open it, but there was nobody worthy to open it. And that's when Jesus walks up. The Lamb of God walked up, and He was worthy to open it. And so, with that said, the seven-sealed book, it had these seals in it. Now, so we're going to move to chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on every little thing. I could possibly have something here or there off. I read about from one person that I trust, and then I read a little bit from another person I trust, and then I read a little bit here, and then I'll read it in the Bible and pray about it. And man, when you're talking about all of this that hasn't happened yet, it's you can get all mumble jumble in a hurry. Gives you a headache. So, chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." Now, remember, the Lamb was handed the book. He's the only one that was worthy enough to do this. That's Jesus. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer." Now I'm going to stop because there's a lot happens right after this verse, but I do want you to understand some of your Bibles will say that is Jesus. That is not Jesus. That is the Antichrist. But some Bibles actually have it out there, oh, Jesus, but it ain't. I don't know if it's a misprint in those Bibles. They should have corrected it. But nonetheless, matter of fact, anybody got a Thompson chain? I've got Thompson chains I use to study in. They don't give a commentary, but right out there beside that verse, it says Jesus Christ. That's wrong. It's the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying that that's what he meant, but it is beside that verse as a reference. So, I just had to add that in there. Now we got to look at things just a little different. So, you need to understand the rapture could happen at any time. Chapter 4, come up hither, that could happen at any time. These verses 1 and 2, I want us to look at what people on earth did not see or will not see because seeing how it hadn't happened yet. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 14, verse 13 through 18, well, let's just go there. Is it 1 Thessalonians? I thought it was 2 Thessalonians. No, it's 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, let me stop right there. That sleep means it's dead. But I want you to understand something. There, you'll see a lot of tombstones say this. Oh, they're sleeping in Jesus. They ain't sleeping. They in heaven. Somebody started it years ago that you'll just lay there in the grave and then one day you'll... and you'll get up. That's not true. Because here in just a moment, it corrects that lie. All right. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In other words, the bodies of those that have died. Now, how it's going to take place, I have no idea. I do know that if you plant a kernel of corn, you get corn, but it don't look like one kernel of corn. Now, exactly what we'll look like, I don't know. Will we be little bitty babies? No. We're going to be full-size spiritual human beings. We're going to be glorified on the way up. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When Jesus comes back, all of those that have died before us is with him. Because they got to come get their bodies, which will be glorified. Our bodies will be glorified on the way up. And we're not going to see death. That's pretty neat. If the rapture happens tonight, and everybody in this building is alive. You alive? Everybody in this building is saved. You ain't going to die first.
That's right.
You're just going to be translated. There's one other guy that was done that way, but we'll get there maybe in a minute. Now, that's what the people here on earth is not going to see. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54 says that we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. It's quick. So, they won't see that. Everybody else, the ones that are living here, they're not saved. If you got a spouse, or if you've got a mom or dad, or a child, or a sibling, or your neighbor, if they're not saved, they're not going to see Jesus. They're not going to hear Jesus. We're just going to, we're going to be gone. Now, at this point, really, I need to take a little break. Matthew 24, verse 8. Actually, Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14 is basically the beginning of the tribulation period. But I want you to hear this one verse. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Right then and there, whenever this takes place, whenever Jesus comes back in the clouds, and by the way, it didn't say he was going to heaven. It said he was going to meet Jesus in the air. Now, eventually we'll get there. But to start out with, no. But we're going to meet him in the air immediately. That has to be when the beginning of sorrows take place. That's basically what I can find. That is basically the tribulation is talking about. Now, what those on earth will see. So we know that when we're raptured, these people down here that are not saved, they ain't gonna see this. It's just gonna boom, and we're gonna be missing. We'll be gone. Now, some of this I'm gonna kind of repeat again, but it's needful. Now, what those on earth will see, they will see the disappearance of Christians. They'll understand they're gone. Now, I don't know how long that understanding is going to last, but they will understand that, hey, my neighbor's gone. Those guys that hung out at the church, if it happened today, their cars have been there for a week now. I don't know what happened to them. They're gone. Genesis 5 and 21 and 20 through 24, it talks about a man named Enoch. This man said he lived for 65 years. Now, I don't know what he did for 65 years. He may not have been a good person. I don't know. And he might have been a good person. The Bible doesn't say. It says, for 65 years, Enoch lived. And then he begot his son named Methuselah. And then it says, for 300 years, he walked with God. So for 65, maybe he wasn't walking too good with God. And then for 300 years, he walked with God. And then all of a sudden it said, but God took him. That was his blessing for living the way he should be living. That he did not see death. It says God took him so that he should not see death. So he was just walking along with God one day, and God says, hey, you want to go? And he left. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, it says that he was not. He left. And it says they couldn't find him. So they were actually looking for him. So when the rapture happens, there's going to be folk looking for you. If you're saved, you're just going to poof. And then there's going to be people wondering, they're going to say, where's Sandy at? Now, let me say this real quick. A person that does not understand, can't comprehend what salvation is and all of that, they're going to be gone too. All the little kids, all the little babies. And we always say the age of accountability. Somebody give me the age of accountability. You sure? I've been told it's 12. 100 years. Well, hey, I'm covered. I'm going to be honest with you. This is what people say. They say it's 12 years old.
But the problem is, I know some people that ain't got it together enough to figure it out at 12 years old. But then my son got saved at, what, 5? And Santino, he got saved somewhere around that area. Yeah, age 7. And I'm like, apparently they understood. I believe where they got the age of 12 was because the Jews, or the Hebrews, I'll say, because Jews are Jewish religion. The Hebrews, they said at 12 years old, he's accountable. And so he started learning dad's trade. And I think that's kind of where it all come from. But we really don't know. There may be some people that are 30 years old that ain't at the age of accountability yet. Listen, I've met some of those. I've met some people that, look, they can't, I have no idea how they even passed the driver's test. You know, but it's scary. We're going down the highway with these people. Now, the trib, what I want you to understand, though, there's going to be a strong delusion sent from God for those people that's left. People don't like this. It irritates them. But if, now I'm going to put it this way, if a person has heard the Word of God and understood the Word of God, and did not get saved, that person will not have an opportunity once the rapture happens to go to heaven. It's biblical. If they understood it and walked away, and then the rapture happened and very 5 minutes later, they ain't going to heaven. Yeah. It's in Thessalonians. We'll go there in a minute. They're going to believe the delusion. I mean, the lie. God is going to send them a strong delusion that they will believe the lie, which is going to be UFOs probably. Now, we'll get there in a minute. The trib can begin because of the removal of what? The Holy Spirit. The tribulation cannot begin until the Holy Ghost is gone. The reason we're not any more evil than we are right now, which we are very evil world, the reason we're not is because the Holy Ghost keeps it that way. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll jump ahead and read this for you. Verse 11, and then we'll come back to it. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, you're sitting in church. We'll just use church. Well, you're sitting in church on a Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night, and man, the preacher's fired up and he's preaching, and you hear the gospel, and the Holy Spirit shows up and says, you need to get saved. No, you need to get saved. No, maybe later. And it leaves you alone. And then maybe another time, somebody comes up to you and hands you a tract, and the Holy Spirit says again, you need to get saved. You need to trust the Lord Jesus. No. I got life, man. I want to live life. I don't want to be a Christian. And then the rapture happens. You had your opportunity. God said in Genesis chapter 6, I do believe, I will not always strive with man. We know for a fact that 120 years later, they all died. They had their opportunity. Noah, that's a scary thought, but it's the truth.
And if you want to disagree, that's okay. Study it. Who's always right, Santino? Yeah. Now, before the... Now, I've got to do this. We'll come back to that. Don't lose that spot. Before the Lord comes to set up His kingdom. Now, understand, before the Lord comes, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Talking about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the second coming. That's when Jesus steps on the earth. Not when He comes. It ain't talking about the rapture. Alright. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. If you read that verse right there and stop, you can say, well, we've already seen the falling away, because the falling away, by the way, as Christians, is quit coming to church. Now, then the next thing is, well, rapture can't happen until the Antichrist is revealed. But there's a problem. The Antichrist can't be revealed until the Holy Ghost is removed. So, we got to stop. I'm going to come back. I'm going to give you an overview and then we're going to drop back. Now, before the Lord comes to set up His kingdom, first there's got to be lawlessness working all over the earth. We are already seeing lawlessness working already around the earth. Let me read verse 7 to you, chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Verse 7 says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It was already working back then. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Those two words, letteth and let, is hindereth and hinder. Only, in other words, the one that hindereth Satan from his Superman rising to power, once he is gone, then he won't hinder him no more. But until then, the Antichrist cannot be made known. He may be alive right now, but he can't be made known until the Holy Ghost is removed. That verse tells you that. Now, second, a time of great sin, the apostasy or falling away, when even professing Christians will forsake the Lord and His teaching. That's verse 3 we just read. We have witnessed that already. We've witnessed people, they don't want to hear the truth of the Word of God. And they walk out and they don't come back because they wasn't up. They don't want to hear it. Thirdly, the Holy Ghost, who really has been restraining, has been the restraining influence that God sent, to the hearts of men, and he keeps Satan from doing just as he pleased on earth. He's got to be removed first. That's verse 7. You see, because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. My spirit is the Holy Spirit's temple. He lives within my spirit. Now, I could get in trouble here, and a lot of people disagree with me, and I don't care, but and it's okay because they can believe what they want. I've been told, well, you know, you can't drink Dr. Pepper and coffee and smoke and alcohol, and there's reasons why you don't want to do all that, because you're destroying the temple of God. Milk don't destroy my spirit. It might trash out my body. Because according to doctors, milk gives you cancer. By the way, I just went to my heart doctor for my checkup. Well, actually, I didn't. He called me. Oh, Dr. Inwakonthan, cool. I'm thinking they're going to move my appointment. My follow-up. He says, hey, man, he said, ain't no need for you to come in here and give me your money. He said, you're doing good. He said, everything looked good. Your cholesterol looks good. I said, now, about 5 years ago, my cholesterol was 300. It was the LDL, which is supposedly the bad one.
He says, I said, what's my LDL? He said, 78. He said, you doing all right? He said, you ain't got to come in. He said, not that I don't want to see you, but I'll see you in a year. I said, okay. And then they'll shave me again and this itchy and we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. My spirit was quickened and the spirit moved in. The Lord says that what goes into a man's mouth does not defile him. It's what comes out. It's the heart. So if you want to keep drinking your coffee, drink your coffee. I'd lay away from the alcohol because according to Proverbs, alcohol is not for kings and priests. So you guys ain't got a problem, right? Because you ain't kings and priests. Well, actually you are. So anyhow. But if you would, no, I'm not, never mind, I'll go on. So, because of the Holy Spirit, He lives in our temple. Now, we'll be gone in the rapture. Alright. Now the Antichrist, now I gotta throw it in here, medicinal purposes. In other words, if you're sick, you drink NyQuil, it's 38% alcohol. If you drink wild turkey, 101 proof. Don't drink the whole bottle because you got a sore throat. You might not wake up if you drink all that. If you got stomach issues, honestly, Paul told Timothy, hey, have a little wine with your, because it helped the stomach. I don't trust the medical field anymore, so I'm going back to a lot of the old remedies because I'm scared of the medical field. I really am. I don't trust them to do a whole lot. Yeah, they're trying to kill us. I agree with you. Now, fourth, the Antichrist will reveal himself and be worshipped. Verse 3, verse 8, and verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians. So we read verse 3. Let's read verse, 8? Read verse 8. He says in verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. Now, whoa. Now we've jumped way ahead, because that's a good 1,007 years ahead when the Lord consumes him, when he gets rid of him, with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, it jumped way ahead, but he's going to reveal himself. Verse 10, did I say? Yeah. Verse 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in him that perished, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. All of these people that are living on this earth right now in the age of grace or the church age, whatever you want to call it, one and the same, we have the love of the truth. Are we willing to accept it? The Holy Spirit convicts us, but we turn it off. You ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit and said, I ain't doing it? I have. And sometimes, if you keep on and keep on and keep on, he'll get real quiet. And that's a scary place to be. I told you before, right over here, just outside of, you come down the mountains on I-70, and you come around this curve, and boom. I used to get service right there. I didn't have it before, but always got service right there. Right before you come into Richfield, Utah. I called her, and I said, I feel alone. She said, oh, honey, you're on the way home. I said, no, you don't get it. I said, I feel alone. Period. I said, I feel like the Lord moved out. And I did. I just felt alone. But I know why. It's because he'd been saying, listen, you need to preach. And I'm like, no. Yeah, it does. Free will gets you in trouble. And finally, and for a long time, I just felt darkness and I felt alone. And then one day, it woke back up again. I'm like, okay. Anyway, so the Antichrist will reveal
We're not going to go to Revelation 13 right now, but it's there as well. The fifth thing I want to say, the destruction of the wicked one by the Lord. Revelation, that's over in Revelation 19. The day of the Lord, that is when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation. He's going to come back and cause a lot of chaos. All right, now, let's rewind just a bit. Revelation, and bear with me. Man, we get through this. Revelation chapter 6, 1 and 2 again. What will happen in the first half of the tribulation? Go to Revelation chapter 6. You can make a mark in your Bible if you write in your Bible. I write all in my Bible. But Sandy really writes in her Bible. Chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2, and stop. The rapture happens there, and the tribulation period moves in, and this is basically the beginning, I'll say, of the first half of the tribulation period, which is not going to be a real bad situation. It is and it ain't. So the first seal is opened up. Satan's Superman is revealed. That's chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 3 and verse 8. He is revealed. That takes place in the first half of the tribulation period. So he says right here, he says, and, wait a minute. I'll come and see you, and I saw a white horse. Wait a minute. And when he had, all right, now, verse 3, he's going to open the second seal. I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse. Now the first horse is white. That's the Antichrist. The Antichrist is revealed right in this area. That's the first part of the tribulation period. He's revealed. Now he's not in power. He's not the main man yet. But he's getting there. Yep, he's well on his way to being what he's going to be. By the way, the Catholic Church is going to help him get there. That's a whole other story. And the Pope, they're going to help him rise to fame. Now, what was that? All right, so the first seal is open. That is the Antichrist. He ain't quite there yet, but he's on his way. Seal 2, 6, 3, and 4, it says, and when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. That great sword is the revived Roman Empire. The Roman Empire has ceased to exist in people, I guess you could say, but in thought and in government, it has not. It will be revived, and it's going to cause lots of grief, and they're going to use it. The rise of the Roman Empire, Revelation 13:1. It talks about the rise. The beast came out of the sea. Now, there's a lot of speculation who this beast is. I do believe, really, I'm going to lean more toward he's really got to be a Jew. I'm not going to say 1,000%, but I'm pretty sure he's got to be a Jew for them to accept him as the Messiah. Or at least have some kind of Jewish background. Hebrew background. But I do believe, I think his brother Randy Chauvin said this, I do believe he's coming out of the Roman Empire. People say, well, he's a Jew. What's he doing there? Well, listen, I know a Jew lives here. You know, he ain't went back yet, but I do know one that lives here. To, you know. Now, this is what's going on earth. While we're up there in heaven, this is what's going on. The rise of Israel. Oh, we got to read that one. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah, and I got to get through this. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. Come on. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 11 and verse 12. He says here, he says, "And it shall come to pass in that day," that's talking future, "that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed Judah from the four corners of the earth." In other words, people from all over the world that are Hebrews or Jews are going back to Israel. They are doing that as we speak. They claim you can be in Israel and you'll see people get off the plane, fall down and kiss the ground, and they say, "I'm home." Because they've all been going home. They don't even know why they're going home. They're just going home. They're still looking for the Messiah, by the way. Now, Antichrist's covenant with Israel, we got to read this. Go to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. That's one of them books that you'll flip right by it if you ain't careful. Daniel chapter 9. And verse 27. "And he shall come, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." That's the seven, that's the 7 year tribulation period. "And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblation to cease." So we've jumped ahead now. "And for overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Now, I got to explain a little bit of it. At some point, there's going to be a war, and it's the war that's in Ezekiel chapter 38. It's not Armageddon, but at some point, we've got to have that war. In the middle of that war, God is going to intervene, because they're all going to, that group of people are going to kill Israel. And God's going to intervene miraculously, and they're going to know it was God. But in the process, the Antichrist is going to be much higher in power than when he started. And he's going to say, "I'll help you guys. I'm going to sign a peace treaty with you." Now, that's somewhere from the time, in my opinion, from the time the rapture happens till close to the middle of the tribulation period. Somewhere in there, that war will start. I don't believe we'll see it. Now, I've got friends of mine. I know a lot of pastor friends of mine. They think it's going to start before the tribulation, before the rapture happens. Personally, I don't think so. It'd give us too much of a clue that Jesus is coming back, because we ain't gonna know. But if you have an idea and then war starts, you follow what I'm saying. So the Antichrist is gonna sign a peace treaty with Israel. Then the temple will be rebuilt. They're gonna start doing their sacrifices. You know, they haven't done sacrifices since what, 70 AD? They're gonna start doing their sacrifices again. They've got all the stuff ready. They've got the menorah ready. They've actually found the red heifer with no white hairs on it. They found one years ago, and they searched and said, "We've got him." And then they found a little bitty one under his belly. I'm like, I'm glad I ain't got to live that way. But anyway, so the temple will be rebuilt. We're close. Seals 3 and 5. So look at verse 5 of Revelation 6. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the beast say, 'Come and see,' and behold, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny,'" that's about a day's wages at that time, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. I've never heard a really good explanation of that, but I've heard a lot of explanations for it. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. That's not Clint Eastwood. There was a movie, Pale Rider, he used that. But anyway, or somebody in the movie did. And hell followed him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We've seen a lot of people dying from beast of the earth here lately. All of this stuff's coming to, what's the word? Fruition. Fruition? It's got a T in it, don't it? Yeah, fruition. Fruition. I always say it wrong. It's coming. It's starting to bloom. We're seeing it. And I teach language. That's scary. All right, at some point, that war is going to start. The temple's going to be rebuilt, and we're seeing this. Now, this is all in the 3.5-year mark. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not covering every little thing. We're probably going to back up to some of it. In all of this is going to be the rise of Babylon. We'll read about that next time we do this. But there's going to be the rise of Babylon. And then once we do that and maybe come back and kind of talk some more about this. But I want you to understand these first, what did I say, 4 seals? Yeah, these first 4 seals are all in the first half of the tribulation period. But the latter half of the first half, that makes sense? You got half and whole. So you got a first half of the half, then you got a middle half of the half. Somewhere around the middle half of the half, down toward the end of the half, things are going to get rough. To start with, it may not be too bad. They're going to have to clean up a mess, because when the rapture happens, all this junk out here that's flying in the air and driving down the highway, it's going to be a mess. Now, all that's going to happen, but we're going to see, we won't be seeing this, but they're going to see these other seals coming to be. There's going to be famines like they've never seen before. There's going to be death like they've never seen before. They just think that COVID was a big thing. By the way, COVID didn't hardly kill anybody. Yes, they got paid big money to do it too. All of that's starting to come out. The hospitals were paid big money. The nurses were paid big money. The doctors were paid big money to do stupid things to them so they'd die. It's all a scam, but people were saying, oh, we're in the tribulation third, everybody died. No, we're not. It's going to be a whole lot worse than that. But we're seeing evil days. Now, I want to tell you something, and we're going to come back. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rise of Babylon, which is Revelation 17. And we're going to probably kind of hit a little more on some of the other. But this is just a little sketchy outline of what's going on, because you could spend days and days and days digging all this stuff. The evil we're seeing right now in our present world is dangerous. I'm going to be up front with you. This transgender evil out of the pits of hell stuff, those people have a reprobate mind, as far as I'm concerned. In other words, God has turned them over. They're done. They have no conscience. They really don't care what they do. Keep your eyes open, because they're calling for all-out war on Christians. It's on the news. It's not just hearsay conspiracy.
It was on ABC, on NBC. They are saying we need to kill Christians. We are living in the last days. We're there. And we got real problems coming up. And it's kind of like one guy read something from. He said, why don't the 99% stand up against the 1% and stop this nonsense? You know when they figured it up? 1% is getting all of this stuff done. There's a reason behind that. It's called satanic influence. Don't think there ain't satanic influence in the transgender and all of that mess. Big time. There's satanic influence. You don't want to mess with it. We got to depend on the Lord. All right, let's stand. Brother Roger, pick us out a song, and we'll... Oh, look, 7:14. Not bad. We covered...